kingdom of God. The unshakable kingdom of God.
Yes, 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 indeedy. Come on in. There's plenty of room in my Father's kingdom. Plenty good room. Yes, thank you. We're so glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. So I don't know. The choir may have to stay up here. We'll see. Oh, I just want to take a moment to look at you. You all look beautiful, wonderful. You sort of look new and resurrected. Yeah, anybody here resurrected this morning? Yeah. It's a happy and a glorious Easter morning, and it's a happy resurrection day. You know, I sort of feel like I've been resurrected myself. I've been resurrected into new life. I'm not totally there yet, so I want you to continue to hold prayers for my total and complete healing. No nerve damage, no nerve pain. I want to be better than before. You know what I mean? I want to be brand new. I want to be better than before, but I feel like I've come into new life because for a moment there, a moment during the first 3 days of the onset of shingles, and I don't know if you've ever had that. And I said, I'm going to be the poster girl for getting the shingles shot for people. See, my mother tried to tell me, you know, she kept trying, and I said, yes, yes, yes. I even scheduled it and then something came up and I didn't follow through on it. But for the first 3 days, for a moment there, I was feeling like I had been crucified. I'm serious. In fact, I really had an understanding, or I could now understand the concept of death as a welcomed relief. I'm serious. I had so much compassion at that point for people who were really suffering with pain, you know, maybe with cancer that has metastasized throughout the whole body. And I could see where the body at that point would be in a position to welcome death as a relief. I laid there, I'm telling you the truth now. I said, if maybe, Lord, they could just put me in a coma for 3 days. Really? So that I would somehow be unawake and unconscious to the pain. Unconscious to the pain. Of course, I knew that wasn't going to happen. They weren't going to do that for me. But in those initial 3 days, I went without sleep. I couldn't sleep because it started all on the back of my head, so I could not lay down, and then it went all down my neck and the side. So there was only one spot right about here that I could lay on. And if you try to lay on this one spot here, it doesn't really quite work because now everything here is strained. And so I was sitting up. All I could do for 3 days was sort of sit there. I was in constant, not just intermittent. See, it didn't go away, in constant excruciating pain. So much so that all I could do was sit on the side of my bed in like an upright fetal position with my hand and rock and moan and groan and pray until finally, believe it or not, all I could do was surrender to the pain. I just had to surrender to the pain. You see, this is an interesting thing because there was nothing else that I could do, no place else I could go, medicine and all that stuff. At the initial outbreak, none of that does nothing, anything for you. So there was nothing else. What else could I do but sit there and be there? I could not escape it, so I had no other choice but to be fully present to it. If I could have run away from it, I would have. If I could have taken something that was going to, I would have. So I had nothing else to do but to be, those first 3 days, to be fully present to the pain. Now, there's something funny that happens when you are fully present to something. See, I couldn't be distracted. TV wasn't a distraction. Somebody talking to me, calling me up was not a distraction. There was nothing that took my mind off of this pain. So it's a funny thing. When you are fully present to something, you start to transcend it. This is part of the mystery of life. When you're fully focused and present to something, you sort of touch something within your own being that takes you beyond that which you're focused on. It takes you someplace else. And if it's pain or a painful situation or a painful circumstance that you might be undergoing or experiencing, and you cannot get away from that situation, then you must at some point begin to push through it. See, you must find something within your being that enables you to bear it or to embrace it or to even overcome it. You must find your unconquerable soul, your unfettered spirit at that point in your experience. I love the poem Invictus. And many of us know that because we saw the movie about Nelson Mandela using that poem. But the word Invictus from the Latin root means unconquered. Unconquered. And this is what the author, who was William Ernest Hensley, wrote when he wrote Invictus. Now, I'm going to use let me get it. So I want to read this poem because I think it's so powerful. And he says, "Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horrors of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." I love that poem because that came to me in my times. I didn't quite cry, felt like it. But I recognized that I had to be the master of my own fate and the captain of my soul. When my mind was aligned in the right position, when I was able to call forth and touch and dwell in the presence of God, when that's the only thing you can call upon, that you know there's nothing else out here that can help you except save God. But I love that poem and those last two lines that say, "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." A powerful statement to make, and clearly made by someone who knows who they are and who knows what they're capable of, especially having an unconquerable soul. See, your soul is what we would define it in Unity and New Thought is the sum total of your awareness. It's your consciousness. You are spirit, soul, and body. The spirit of God indwells you, and the soul, the spirit, mind, body, the soul is your awareness, your consciousness, and your body is your physical nature. But it is your soul that contains everything about you. All your thoughts, your feelings, your attitudes, perceptions, everything that you hold is contained and imprinted upon your soul. It's your consciousness. And when your soul or your consciousness is at its highest level, you are then aware of and conscious of and connected to God. The soul at its highest level begins to touch the spirit, touches God. And to have an unconquerable soul is to have nothing less than the truth within your consciousness. To have an unconquerable soul, you cannot have doubt. You cannot have fear. You cannot have question. To have an unconquerable soul, an unconquerable consciousness that is filled with nothing but the truth of God. See, so with no limits and no limitations of any kind, when you have that kind of consciousness, you will have an unconquerable soul. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Now, the question I want to ask is, do you think Jesus the Christ was the master of his fate? Of that we can be sure of without a doubt. Although others who were around him, those who even professed to be his disciples, they had questions about his faith. They had doubts concerning. They thought that he had fallen in defeat, that he had somehow was a victim of his circumstances, that somehow he had suffered something so great, so unjust. But make no mistake about it. Jesus knew fully well what was to be of his experience. He knew fully well of what the outcome was going to be. He knew that he was the master of his fate. It wasn't circumstance. It wasn't happenstance. Did he not say, "Destroy this body and I will raise it again"? What? In 3 days. He knew what his fate would be. He was not a victim, but a victor, because his fate was sealed by his unconquerable spirit, by his unconquerable soul. No doubt he knew who he was. In Luke 23, verses 46 records the last words of Jesus. And there are seven in the different gospels. You can pick out seven last words, but Luke records this as the last words. And I'm reading Luke 23, verse 44 through 46. By this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the thick veil hanging in the temple was torn apart. Then Jesus said, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. Now, some translations say, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Very powerful, very powerful. You see, friends, when you commit your spirit, when you commit your life into the hands of God, guess what? You inherit and acquire an unconquerable spirit, the unconquerable spirit of God. That's what happens. When you commit and entrust your life into the hands of God, you receive all that God is, the unconquerable nature of God's spirit. See, Jesus could surrender to the crucifixion experience because he was assured of his resurrection. He knew that his resurrection was going to yield something else, something greater. So he could commit his spirit into the hands of God. He gave his life knowing full well and trusting full well that he would inherit even greater life. That victory was assured. So he could surrender. What is it that you need to surrender this day? What is it that you need to put into the hands of God? See, this is not the time to hold on to it. Sometimes we think if I could hold on to it and if I could work it, maybe I'd have it be all right. Well, when I was sitting there moaning and groaning, I realized I couldn't work a thing. Couldn't do anything about it except trust God. See, so if you want to be delivered, then you may want to think about putting your life into the hands of God. If you want to be healed, you may want to think about putting your life and your faith into the hands of God. Even Jesus said, have faith in God. So if you want to be anything, whatever it is that you might want to overcome, if you want to be transformed, if you want to overcome, if you want to be victorious, you might want to put your life in the hands of God. You might want to make that commitment. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. See, my life. Why? Because the spirit of the living God is unconquerable. That's why. The spirit of the living God is unconquerable. Victory is always at hand. Turn to somebody and tell them, today my victory is at hand.
Today my victory is at hand.
I want us to say this. That's right. Let's affirm this one this today. My victory is at hand. Oh, tell me again.
My victory is at
hand. I want to hear it one more time.
My victory is at hand.
My victory is at hand. Yes, indeed. My victory is at hand. Yeah. And you know why you can say that? Here's why. Because in the scriptures, in Romans 8, verse 11, this is what it says. In Romans, verse 8, 11, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as he raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by this same Spirit living within you. Now, I didn't say it. The scripture said it. The same Spirit that raised Jesus lives in you, dwells in you. The breath you take is that very same Spirit that raised Jesus. And it says here that he would also, just as he raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body, meaning life to your affairs, life to your consciousness, life to your experiences. The same Spirit, not just the special Spirit that worked with Jesus, but the same Spirit, right? The same Spirit is the Spirit that indwells you. See, friends, we have to really get that and understand that we have an unconquerable Spirit that dwells within us. We have to know this. And even though when you experience this life experience, your head may get bloody. That's what it says in Invictus. You know, your head may get bloody from the trials and the tribulations of life, but it need not be bowed. See, when I sat there, I was like, okay. And it must have been my resurrection, because on the third day of that pain, I said, I am done with this. I've got to claim my victory. So not to be bad, because you're meant to be an overcomer. You're meant to be victorious. And you have to cross out all limiting thoughts. You've got to cross out all those things that hold you back, because there is no one and no thing that can keep you down, not even death. The cross is not a symbol of just crucifixion, but it is a symbol of resurrection. And here's the thing. We've got to stop constantly worshiping a crucified Jesus. And we've got to worship one and celebrate a risen Christ. Not a crucified Jesus, but a risen Christ. You see, this is what I noticed. For 51 Sundays out of the year, most churches focus on the crucifixion and the fact that Jesus died on the cross. And then for one Sunday out of the year, on Easter, they celebrate and focus on the resurrection. And I'm here to say that it should be the message for 52 Sundays should be about The resurrecting power of God. See, that's the good news. 52 Sundays, it should be about the resurrection of the Christ and the resurrecting power of God and the unconquered spirit of the Christ. Jesus was not a victim of his circumstances, right? He was not. He was a master of his fate. He was the captain of his soul, a victor who knew who he was. So, my friends, you've got to start living like you have the spirit of the living Christ within you. That's how we have to start living. We've got to claim victory. We've got to claim it. Yes, indeedy. So, friends, claim your victory today. It's Resurrection Sunday, y'all. Rise up and have your unconquerable spirit. Christ in you is your hope of glory. Blessings and namaste.